Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, and another daily editorial where we will be focusing on the precious metals and looking at a number of different charts as they relate to precious metals and the underlying stocks. I'm chatting with Jordan Roiburn. He is the founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, I want to start off with the precious metal stocks and more specifically GDX and the GDXJ charts. I know a lot of our listeners are invested in these stocks. Everyone's trying to get a handle on when we could see a bottom in this correction. The argument has been, at least this week, that the stocks haven't sold off in the same degree or to a greater degree than how gold has. But we were also pointing out over the last couple of weeks that the stocks were drastically underperforming the gold price. Jordan, can you just give us a little insights initially into what you are watching most closely when it comes to the charts for GDX and GDXJ, please?
Well, I think what I'm watching are the various points of support in these charts. And I think we're getting to the point where we should be seeing a rebound and a potential bottom. We're speaking here on Wednesday. Tuesday, based on the chart, was a low, but we've kind of had uninspiring action since that low. So I don't think we're going to do a V rebound here, but I don't see that much downside. I mean, GDX got all the way down into the 33s. And if you look at a Fibonacci retracement from the COVID low, I mean, it comes in, I think, around 3290. And also the 400-day exponential moving average comes into play, I think, a 3230 or so. And one thing to note about that, Corey, is if you look at gold stocks going back to, 2000 to 2011, and there were three comparable corrections that I picked out that I've been following, and something I didn't notice till the last couple of days is the bottom in all those corrections happened after the market lost the 200-day moving average. And so GDX, a couple days ago, lost its 200-day moving average. So, conventional technical analysis would tell you that's a really bad thing. But, we're at the end of a correction here in terms of price. And looking at the history tells us that, that's closer to being a buy signal than a sell signal at this point. And I pulled up the 400-day exponential moving average. I looked at GDX's parent index going back 20 years. And during these corrections, and some of these corrections can have multiple lows, by the way, multiple times the market bottomed at the 400-day exponential moving average. And so, again, that comes into play 3230 or thereabouts. And we have the Fibonacci level 3290. So GDX to me is really close to a significant bottom, and the same thing is the case for GDXJ, which I think came just below 48 yesterday and made a low in the upper 47s. I mean, looking at GDXJ, there are about three different things that are pointing to 48. So there's a lot of technical support in this area. Now, the way this is setting up, I don't necessarily think we're going to see a V rebound. I think this is a situation where we could chop around for several weeks after the first low. So there's going to be a lot of nuance to this bottom in the sector. But generally speaking, I'd say, this holiday season, and not to make an ad because you always hear that with ads this time of year, but this holiday season is probably going to be a time when you want to be a buyer, and we're at the beginning of it now. And the end of it is at the end of the year, starting with the new year. And I think that time frame is going to be a time when, if you see selling or weakness during this time frame, you want to be a buyer.
Yeah, I find this fascinating because that time frame is pretty much exactly what Doc and I just chatted about on the last interview I just posted, where he was saying December, even just looking at the odds of, let's say, GDX correcting for another month, that would be 5 months in a row. That's a very extended and long correction, especially if you still argue that we're in a bull market here. So there's good chance that we see some sort of bottoming next month, and that could at least end the stretch of negative months in a row. But again, just to reiterate, you're not thinking that we're going to get this snapback V-shaped recovery. It's more of a bottoming next month, maybe with a mixed bag of some stocks continuing to sell off a little bit, some stocks starting to bounce back a little bit. But again, more of this flatlining in the chart.
Well, what I would say here, and this is just it's like a guess at this point, because as we get more data, it'll become more clear. But I think GDX and GDXJ, I mean, I don't see them going that much lower than where their lows were yesterday. I mean, I think they're, generally speaking, they're about at the bottom. You know, you can say yesterday. Now, however, Corey, if you look at silver and silver stocks like SILJ, for example, you know, looking at that chart and the silver chart, you kind of have like a triple bottom, and those are not, you rarely see triple bottoms in markets. So, I mean, I'm a little worried that we could see another leg lower in silver and silver stocks, and when that happens, we wouldn't see that much of a corresponding decline in the gold stocks. And the other thing to note is just a lot of the juniors that I'm looking at on my screen, ones that I own or follow, they're like, I want to say, you know, 7%, 10% away from 200-day moving averages, which are rising. So, I mean, I'm not saying this is a prediction, but it seems to me that it's more likely than not, you know, if this bottom takes a little bit of time, that some of those juniors, you know, they could end up testing their 200-day moving average, you know, whether it happens now or in a couple weeks, or, you know, maybe at the very end of the year. So that's the nuance that I see here. It's not, okay, you know, we're hitting a bottom, everything's going to rally. It's more of a situation where, looking at GDX and GDXJ, you know, they're probably at a bottom. They have very little downside left. You know, the odds of more downside are very, very low. But when you look at everything else, you know, it doesn't exactly look like we're about to start this huge V-shaped rebound. So that tells me, at least, to not be surprised if we see some, you know, chop around and kind of grinding action over the coming weeks as this, you know, entire sector tries to find a bottom.
Okay, so the 200-day moving average, that is key to note. It's something you and I have talked about for a while. But give us a little bit more information on how important it is that 200-day moving average for, well, pretty much all the stocks across the sector is rising. That, to me, is very important. But what kind of importance do you put on it?
Well, it's just a marker of the trend, the direction of the moving average, that is. So it's healthy looking at all these charts that we see a 200-day moving average that is sloping higher in a nice fashion. And it's not too sharp. I mean, I think with GDX and GDXJ, it's been sloping up, but it's been kind of a little bit too sharp to the upside. So that's why I'm not that concerned in the big indices, I should say, or ETFs. That's why I'm not that concerned if the market trades below it, just because, as I mentioned in the last answer, in the comparable corrections, the market went below the 200-day moving average every time and bottomed at that point. So again, there's nuance to everything. Just because GDX goes below it doesn't mean your individual junior has to go below it as well. So you have to look at take everything into account, but every chart has its own nuances, you could say.
Absolutely. And look at those individual stock charts. Jordan, let's talk more big picture about gold and the U.S. dollar, because, boy, oh boy, I know you've heard this a lot too, and I've heard it a lot too, and that, well, the dollar's about to break down, so that's going to drive gold higher. You can argue that the dollar is breaking down right now, and it was pulling gold lower. This all, to me, means that, or is showing us that there isn't much of a fear trade right now. Investors are excited. They're optimistic about what's to come. And that does push down gold, and it can also push down the dollar. What do you think about the relationship about the two and the possibility of both the dollar and gold bouncing together?
Well, gold is driven by declining real interest rates or negative real interest rates, not the dollar. So, when you see declining real rates, you tend to get dollar weakness that goes with that. But, you know, the correlation between gold and the dollar has been changing, at least in the last couple of years. So it's been much different than we've seen prior to that. And, you know, typically when you get dollar weakness, or I should, let me go back for a second. Typically, gold leads the dollar. And, you know, I mentioned this before, the dollar, you know, the peak in the precious metals market was the very first week of August. The dollar bottom was, I think, in the first day of September. So at turning points, you tend to get gold leading the dollar. And that's why I don't rely on this idea that, well, the dollar is going to crater and you know, gold's going to follow it. I mean, we can go back in history. There are points when that happens. However, here and now, Corey, given the market that we're in, dollar weakness, as you said, there's not much of a fear trade, but you have a lot of dollar weakness. So where's that, you know, we're getting a vaccine, you know, the virus will burn itself out. Everybody will get vaccinated and we'll have a, you know, recovery at some point next year. When you think of that narrative, you don't think buy gold. You know, you think, well, we're going to start to get some higher rates probably. We'll get an unwind in the zero rate trade. So that's not good for gold. If people are more optimistic, that's not good for gold. But if the dollar is weak, you know, you put your money in emerging markets, you put your money in other commodities, which dovetails with the positive to the economy of the vaccine. So those things do not align with gold going higher, at least people buying more gold. And at the same time, as this has been happening, if you look at market-based indicators of real interest rates, they haven't been going lower. They've actually been ticking higher over the last couple months, you know, even with the dollar going lower. So I know there's a long answer, but that explains all the reasons why gold and precious metals have been weak at this point in time, while other markets have been stronger with the dollar being weak. And so I wouldn't be, again, given all this, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, the dollar hasn't broken down yet. And I would not be surprised if the dollar is setting up for some kind of a rebound. And when that happens, you get other commodities selling off and you get money going back into bonds and gold. That is a possibility. But, you know, regardless of all that, Corey, we have to buy weakness. We have to buy things at strong support. And, you know, going back to what we originally talked about, the miners are really oversold. They're at really strong support levels. I know the juniors are not, you know, some juniors are not quite there yet. And so they might grind out a bottom or whatever, but we're, you know, regardless of the narrative that we were just talking about, the miners are really, really oversold. And this is a time you have to be buying or at least getting ready to buy. Another thing I'll add, Corey, 0% of the Huey stocks and GDXJ stocks are trading above the 20-day and 50-day moving average. The percentage above the 200-day, I mean, that's last I checked, that was down in the low 40s. It could be in the mid 30s now. So when you see zero like that in these breadth indicators, I can just tell you we always get some kind of a rally in the sector. So, you know, the narrative that I just gave you is nice. I mean, it's possible that the dollar could rebound and gold could move higher. I'm not predicting that, but regardless of if that happens or not, Corey, the sector is setting up to make a low this holiday season, as I just said.
All right, there we go, Jordan. We're going to wrap it up there. I think that was a good little summary at the end. Again, a good time to be watching these stocks, maybe jumping into a couple of them as you see them bottom over the next month. But it sounds like for any maybe more encouraging moves to the upside, we will need to wait until next year. That fits a timeline that we have been talking about for the last couple of months. So, Jordan, great chatting with you, buddy. I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving. We'll chat again next week.